Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Movie Mastery, the podcast where we watch the movies that you recommend to us. I am your host, John, and with me is apparently the Riddler.
Just because I have some natty purple glasses on doesn't make me the Riddler. First of all, he would never...
What makes you the Riddler is the fact that you keep leaving clues for Batman.
That's what makes you the Riddler. Yeah, I keep putting little trophies all over fucking Gotham, and you got to throw the Batarang in a real specific way. And that's a riddle.
That's a riddle for you.
Batman. I know you have a radio-controlled one, Batman, and that it fucking sucks to try and use.
Riddle me this. Do you got an explosive to get behind a secret wall?
Obviously.
God damn it.
Obviously, I spray the bat symbol and explosive on the wall.
Every time.
I can't do anything else.
I can't just do like an X or something.
It's the nature of my madness.
Yep, that's Jeff.
Hi.
This time around, we watched Hard Rock Zombies from 1984.
Mm.
And this is a movie that before we, you know, later on, as we always do, get into the spoiler, this is a movie that feels almost entirely like an afterthought and basically was.
Yeah, like it's the movie that almost wasn't. Is the story of Hard Rock Zombies.
Oh yeah. When we watched this, we're like, God, this is incoherent bullshit. And then when I looked up information, I was like, oh, because it wasn't supposed to be a movie.
Yeah.
There is another movie called American Drive-In that came out in 1985, and this was supposed to be the movie playing on the drive-in screen in that movie.
Yeah.
The movie within the movie. And after they got about 20 minutes worth of footage for this other movie, they went, fuck it. Let's make a whole ass other movie.
Which makes sense, because there's huge chunks of this that feature not any character. They seem to just keep adding random new characters for the purposes of keeping the story going. So it doesn't surprise me at all that they would lose access to some actors or whatever as they're like, well, we have this reel that's 20 minutes long. Great, finish it. Because, I have my tradition of, if the movie sucks, of sending John a Facebook message, because I always watch them first.
Yep.
And this time my message was this movie made on accident?
And apparently, yes.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. So there
that vibe comes through.
Mm-hmm. It's real bad.
Oh, yeah. The general idea of, like, if you take a rock band gets killed and comes back as zombies for revenge, you're like, all right, sure, that sounds like a movie.
Uh-huh.
But then this movie, which I will get into in the spoiler area because I don't want to give away the big twist yet.
Oh, who would?
But this movie is basically like, we're not interested in that. In fact, we're not really interested in almost anything. This movie's got a real, like, attention deficit to it. It's just like, hey, there's zombies. Oh, wait, no, there's another thing over here. Let's go over here.
It just has some stuff.
Let me show you a dance I can do.
Yeah, it just has some stuff you might like to see. And I thought I was going to have at least seen parts of this before because, you know, I can't stop myself from watching those Red Letter Media things, even though I don't like about half of those guys.
Yeah.
They have a tradition for their Halloween episodes of doing like 3 movie reviews, and one of them is always some weird horror rock and roll thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's gotta be one of those, because they've done like 5 of those. It turns out that no, they just all have the similar names.
Yeah.
And so that was enough for me to be like, yeah, I've probably seen that. No, I have not. This is new for me. It's not what Rock and Roll Nightmare or Shock 'em Dead or Black Roses. It's a whole new one. Hard Rock Zombies.
Slaughterhouse Rock.
Yeah. Huh? It's nothing. I mean, the only good one, Deathgasm.
Yeah, that is the good one.
Deathgasm's really good. It's also, I would say, the only one that actually contains any hard rock.
Yes.
Because notably, that might be a spoiler alert for the other side of the break, but if you were hoping that a movie called Heavy Metal Zombies,
Hard Rock Zombies.
Hard Rock Zombies might contain some hard rock, you are sadly mistaken. This contains some, like, Styx-grade music.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the band it's 84. This is very much here's some like glam hair metal, very like
wholesome,
Kiss
yeah.
level type things. In fact, I mean,
there's a point where they all have face paint on.
Yeah,
and
when they come back from the dead, they're like, oh, we rose from the dead as Kiss.
Yeah, pretty much. As like weird walking robot kiss.
Yeah.
It's funny because their idea of what they look like as zombies is very different from everybody else in the movie.
Yes, it is. There were choices made in this film.
No, there weren't.
I mean, someone had to make a choice.
No, they didn't. I think the choice was, I will not direct this scene.
Oh, the choice was, I'm going to turn the camera on, and that was a bad one.
Yeah, exactly. They were just like, I don't know, do whatever. Do what a zombie does. And somehow the band are all on the same wavelength, and then everyone else is on their own wavelength.
Yeah. It is wild. So, spoiler-free review. This is bad and boring, and an hour and a half for reason.
Oh, how did you tell me? Did you also pause this at one point? It calls up the little bar at the bottom. You're like, fuck you. What are you talking about? 90 minutes. Because it happened to me.
Oh, you sent me the message of how is this movie this long?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's an hour and a half. That's not ridiculous. And there was a point where I paused, looked at it, and I was like, how do I have 45 minutes left?
Yeah.
This movie should be over now.
Yes.
So, yeah, not great. Lots of filler.
Yeah.
So, there you go. You don't need to see this.
No.
If you are someone that absolutely loves shitty movies like this, or like, it's got big Miami Connection vibes.
Yeah, we both have our, I think we should say on the other side of the break, the two movies that this reminded us of, because they're pretty weird.
Ah.
But yeah, you know, if you want to watch a rock and roll horror movie, I listed a bunch of them a minute ago that are all better. Or Turbulence 3 Heavy Metal is also a really good choice. So check out one of those. But this one, oof a doof.
All right, we are going to play a little music, and we will be right back with the full in-depth spoiler review for 1984's Hard Rock Zombies.
What a rock and roll!
Back, and it's time to talk about some Hard Rock Zombies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, no, it isn't. We won't talk about Hard Rock Zombies for at least 3/4 of this review.
Oh, for sure.
Half of it, probably, is about right.
Now, you had mentioned before we went through the little musical break that we both had things that we were comparing this to.
Yes, we both have our own individual things that we think this movie was very similar to.
Yes.
And yours was?
Now, mine is mostly that this feels like an 80s version of the Monkees TV show. Now, this is a reference.
Good Lord.
That is old for me.
Yes.
Like, this is like, oh, I'm referencing shit that like my parents would watch.
Yeah. This is that like the new Banana Splits, everybody. Oh, wait, there is that already.
Yeah, there is new Banana Splits.
Yeah.
But if you have ever seen an episode of the old Monkees TV show and know what I am talking about.
I have not. I'm not a good partner for this conversation.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But it was a show that was like, oh, we made ourselves an American version of the Beatles, but everything was very much like every episode, the plot doesn't really matter. We've got some goofy thing, but it is mostly filled with like a band does a song and then has at least one Scooby-Doo run around type montage to it. And
so very much like the Banana Splits.
This felt so much, especially when they're like, oh, we get to town and now there's just a song playing in the background and we're like dancing through town and posing on a car and no one's here and there's no reason for us to be doing it. I was like, oh, this is fully the interstitial bits in between plot that the Monkees would do.
Yeah.
And it being made in 84 is like, oh, the people who made this probably watched the fucking Monkees show.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, that we can do that. We can do filler.
That makes sense. Yeah. I can see that. That does line up pretty well to what this is.
Yeah. So for me, it was definitely like a horror version of, even if you toned down the, you know, nudity and gore slightly, not even a lot, it would basically be the Halloween episode of the Monkees is what this movie is.
Makes sense.
So that is where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
And you, however.
So for me, and this is based on the first 20 minutes of the film, minus the prologue murder of two random dudes, which we can just dispense
with. Which I love
with.
That there are two bits of trivia on IMDb for this. One is that this was the movie within a movie for American Drive-In. And the other is it takes 90 seconds for nudity to appear in this movie.
Yeah. Although it's disappointing nudity in both times it appears.
Yeah.
Anyway. So for me, this very much reminds me of Cool as Ice.
Uh-huh.
And this is because you can boil it down the first 20 minutes pretty clearly. You watch the main characters, who are a band, perform a weird concert.
And everybody loves them.
Everybody loves them. Then they go backstage and idly receive praise while the main person from the band is dismissive of the fact that he's in a band.
Yeah.
So the guy comes in, he's like, "You're amazing." He's like, "Whatever, man. We're musicians." Where in Cool as Ice, of course, Vanilla Ice was dismissive of everything.
Yes.
At all times. Then they go on a dumb road trip to a small town where they're immediately distracted by a house containing weirdos. And then they go into that weirdo house and look at the weirdo shit, while the main character falls in love with a girl in the town who is clearly too young for him.
Yes.
That's just Cool as Ice.
Uh-huh.
So for me, this is just the precursor. This is just proto Cool as Ice.
Uh-huh.
Which is not a thing that I thought should or did exist.
Yeah, it is. Once you brought it up, I was like, no, I can see that. It does. It basically takes the Cool as Ice thing and then about 45 minutes in takes a hard right turn into dumb horseshit.
It turns into Kentucky Fried Movie at one point. There's a spot where this is about 2 minutes after I sent the message to John that was like, how the fuck is this movie this long? Was right then it was like, okay, from now on, it's just dumb sketch comedy.
Yeah.
Literally no bad ideas. Everyone's allowed to do whatever they want.
Someone just came up to the director and was like, I know how I can fill 5 minutes. And he went, oh, thank Christ.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh, well, you're wonderful. Get in here. You get writing credit.
God bless you. Okay, do whatever dumb shit you want.
Everybody gets writing credit. And they're all like, no, thank you.
I'm good. Please do not associate me with this. I mean, I will say, though, watching this, I was like, oh, it's amazing that there is one person that I knew from this, which is Phil Fondacaro, probably one of the more prolific little person actors in Hollywood,
yeah,
is in this. And I was like, ooh, I feel bad for you.
Is he the one not wearing the horrible mask?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense then, because you can be able to recognize him. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, man, this sucks, because you were just in Star Wars. Like,
was he an Ewok?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was one of the Ewoks in that. He was the main big, like, hero fighter from the village in Willow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. The one who, oh, yeah, because he was just in the Willow remake as well.
Yeah.
He was the guy who goes with them and then dies halfway through to, like, kind of motivate everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, that was almost entirely, I think this is one of his first things that he had done. Yeah. He had done like a couple things.
Yeah. Everyone gets their start in a shitty horror movie.
So, you know, but eventually he worked his way up to being in Ghoulies 2. So good for him. And Phantasm 2.
It was in Willow like the next year.
I mean, Willow was 88. It took him a few years to get there. But yeah, he has been in a shitload of stuff and a lot of like very high budget stuff.
Yeah.
So he's one of the few things in here where I was like, oh shit, look at you. I know who you are. Amazing. I feel bad for you.
Yeah. I mean, he'd probably be like sixth or seventh on the list if you asked me to list little person actors, but you're absolutely right. Cause I'd be like, oh, you mean like Tony Cox and what, Michael Anderson and Hervé Villechaize and Bridget Powers. Maybe Warwick Davis, but he's not.
Maybe
he's not an American little person actor. And Tony Cox is another really good one. He's the one from Bad Santa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So anyway, where were we? Yeah. So for me, it was Cool as Ice. Anyway, The movie does open with a prologue in which two dumb goofs pick up a hitchhiker and she drowns them and stabs them at the same time. I think we're not sure.
Yeah.
In a lake.
The weird thing for this hot hitchhiker goes like skinny dipping with two guys,
yeah,
and just kills them by holding them underwater,
which makes
blood comes out.
Yeah, we're like,
what?
We're not sure what's going on here. Also, she gets in the car between the two of them and immediately is like, ooh, and there's no dialogue,
no,
for this scene. It's just them driving and they kind of go kind of thing. They're doing making like basically indication noises. So when she gets in, she's like, ooh, and they're like, so it's weird. It was like an interesting stylistic choice. But then she gets out of the car and strips, and you can tell that this actor is willing to show her butt.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're seeing. And then when we get the faraway shot of her from the front, she strips off her top. It's too blurry to see anything, except for the fact that she's clearly wearing a big white bikini bottom.
Yes.
So she's only naked from the back.
Yeah.
So she dives into the water and drowns them in it. And we get to see two more of the characters from the weird house full of weirdos, the photographer guy and the two little person actors.
Yeah. We get one guy whose whole thing is he loves taking pictures of mostly specifically this woman killing people.
Yes.
And then the two little person actors, one of whom is wearing just the absolute dumbest fucking mask.
The cheapest mask you've ever seen.
Yeah. It is unfortunate.
The other one's
bad.
got an eye patch. And their names are Mickey and Bucky, and it won't matter. But those are their names. And they mostly laugh. There are a few scenes where the two of them can talk and do, but for the most part, they're just kind of like they're kind of just a pair of Warios.
Yeah. I mean, the one with the shitty mask says less.
Yes.
But
which is good because
it.
That mask is not
doing anyone any favors.
That is not a special effect. That is a mask.
Yeah. That is bad.
It's especially funny because for the most part, his role in the movie is to do an elaborate eating routine.
Yes.
And the mask is not articulated enough for that to work. So, you know, mouth noises are doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Oh, yeah.
For
it's
you.
Basically every time he just puts something up near where his mouth is and then some ADR mouth noises get put in.
Yeah. So that's the prologue. We then cut to the band who I don't believe ever get a name.
Now, I know what the name of the band is because I looked it up.
Yeah.
They never once say, and there is like, I think one point where you can see it, but the band is Holy Moses. And I was like, that's wild. I never saw that.
Yeah, that's surprising. But yeah, they just keep calling them the rock and roll band and stuff. And I was like, there might be a choice like to say,
I mean,
we're not
they have
name
like
the
a
band.
Manager who's just like, ah, you guys,
you're on the cusp of discovery.
And the reason I would remotely say this is like Miami Connection is because they do play the whole ass song. It's not just we cut to Rock Band, show enough of them doing a song to establish they are a rock band, and then we move on with the plot. They have to play an entire, 3.5-minute song, and then we can move on. And every time they play a song, they will play the entire 3.5-minute song.
And that is where you start getting their late 70s hard rock credentials, because their song sounds exactly like a Kiss song or an Aussie song from that era where you're like,
lyrics are all just like, hey, baby, you look down. You should have a good time and let loose. Let's have fun. I love you.
Yeah, because they have like three songs in this. One of them is about how they love some lady. One of them is about how they love just generically, if you're sad, you shouldn't be. And then the last one is about how, like, if you try, you can accomplish things, but you have to try.
Yeah.
So those are our hard rock themes for the evening.
Yep.
The kind of songs you'd hear from like a Goofy movie.
But we have our backstage, the band, of course, their manager comes in and is like, oh, you guys, we're going to play this town and Don Mattson is going to be there and he's a huge name and he can get us recognized. I need pictures. I need pictures of Spider-Man.
Yeah, he really
I need
wants
you and Spider-Man to take pictures.
He really wants them in pictures with groupies.
Yeah, he's like,
he
I need pictures
sell.
Of people fawning over you. I need it to sell the idea that you can be like sex symbols and that you are popular and that people enjoy your music.
Yeah.
Now, so I need that.
The characters in the bands have names, but the only one that matters is Jesse, the lead singer.
Yep.
And I think he's also the bassist.
Yes.
But there's like a Davey and so on as well, but you only see that if you have subtitles on.
Oh yeah. There. The other time you see it is, you know, once they, I guess, spoiler alert, die, they do pan over their graves.
Yeah.
So you see like Jesse and Chuck and Sammy or whatever.
Yeah. So Jesse's the main one, and he's like, no, come on, man. Well, I'm not an entertainer. I'm a musician, man.
No, and the fact that it's the whole band who's like, no, man, fuck off. We want to hang out in our underwear together back here. Yeah. We just love hanging out backstage in our underwear.
There's your Miami Connection vibes coming through pretty strong. Uh-huh. These dudes just hate their shirts.
We hate shirts, and we love hanging out. We're like a family.
Yeah. So the manager responds by just opening the door and letting the groupies in so we can get his pictures. Now, this is weird because it sets up that Jesse is supposed to be a man of principle. He does not want to constantly deal with groupies and sign their boobs and thighs and so on. He finds the whole thing distasteful. And instead, he manages as soon as he can to break out into the hallway where he immediately zeroes in on a girl who looks to be about 14. And he's like, yeah, you're the special one, though. You're the one for me. And you're just like, oh, that's why he's got principles, because he's a creep-ass pedophile. Great.
Oh, yeah. It is gross.
Yeah.
He comes out, sees this. I mean, I have no idea how old the actress is, but you're right. Looks about, like, maybe 15, and just goes, hey, how's it going? And she doesn't say anything. And he's just like, I said, hey. And I'm like, oh, you're already a piece of shit. Don't
look
do
like,
this.
You look like a really special girl.
Hey, did you like the show? Did you want an autograph? And then she is just there to go, hey, the next show you are doing, don't do it. It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we gotta. There's gonna be a person there. No, there's the town will not enjoy you. Do not go.
Don't go.
I am the harbinger. And also a 15-year-old sex object
and
for you.
I'm the harbinger and the final girl.
It's I'm a weird combo here.
You got a lot going on. We knew there needed to be horror movie tropes, but we forgot to put them in, so I'm all of them.
I'm the one person who said I would be here for the whole shoot, so I get everything.
Yeah, her name's Cassie, which you only will really know because at one point he's like, I wrote a song about you. What's your name, though? Because it's part of the song I wrote already.
Yeah, I've got a blank for name in song.
Please tell me it's two syllables.
If not, I'm going to have to really work that in there. Speaking of working it in there, I'm gross.
Yeah, oh man, it is just so unpleasant. It's not okay for the whole... She's like the only character in this movie who visibly has a parent.
Yeah.
And who's just like, get home. I don't want you talking to these rock star types. Especially this guy who's got a foot on you and a creep mustache.
Oh, yeah. It's not a good look. Of course, immediately after this little conversation, the manager and a bunch of groupies comes out and he's like, hey, you got to come back in here and judge the wet t-shirt contest. Winner gets your pants. And I'm just like, all right.
That was a pretty good
line.
You
know what? All right.
There are
you're all right.
There is a lot. I mean, basically, this movie is a fucking shitload of spaghetti flung towards the wall.
Yes.
So some stuff does stick. For example, she says the next town you're playing, and then she says the name of the town, and I was like, that's a good name for a stupid town where everyone's going to die. Because she's like, you can't play the next town of Grand Guignol.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fucking that's a little on the nose.
A little much.
But it looks like absolutely no one in that town or in the band knows what that means, and so it's fine. Maybe just no one in the movie, except for, like, the writer.
I'm sure.
Like, just call it this. This is how you pronounce it. What does that mean? Don't worry about it. It's just an actual town in Minnesota. Don't ask any questions. Although they're in California. They mentioned that at one point.
Yes. Which is... I mean, I guess it was probably filmed there.
It absolutely doesn't matter where they are, but they do mention at one point someone very special to this movie mentions that they're in California.
Someone so special. Oh, goodness me.
Anyway, the part I mentioned for the coolest eyes comparison then happens. They get in a van, they drive into town, they encounter the same hitchhiker.
Yep.
They let her in and they're like, hey, some lady told us we shouldn't play this town. And she's like, yeah, it's a strange town. There's strange little girls around here.
There's strange little girls. Oh, well, is there anything weird about it? No, it's perfectly normal.
Turn
right. But you just said it was a strange town.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Turn right. Why would I turn right? You're staying at my house. It's cheaper than a motel. Oh, okay. I'm like, these guys aren't paying for it. They have a manager. What do you...
Well,
maybe they are.
It is a manager and, like, four dudes in a small van. If someone goes, hey, I've got a house you can stay at instead of a hotel... This is the type of band that is 100% going, oh, sweet God, yes.
I guess that's fair. But yeah, then they get to the house and it's just like some Rocky Horror shit. It's like, for some reason, this lady lives in an enormous castle, which is will be explained.
I mean, the very big vibe from this girl and the family is someone has watched Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah, or Hills Have Eyes shit, yeah.
Well, it's very much Texas Chainsaw because you have the... attractive, normal-seeming one as the bait to get people to the house where the, you know, crazy family members are there to kill you.
Yes. although here they're a little crazier than usual. For example, we don't take a lot of time setting up that this is going to be crazy, which, you know, I know, granted, Texas doesn't usually do that either. Usually the moment you're at the house, they're like, oh, a huge dude in a skin mask comes out hooting and hollering. So here we get a little bit with the two little person actors coming out. You see them pretty early on. But then you hear a howling and you cut right into the tower of the building. And there's a fucking werewolf in a wheelchair holding daggers in both hands in there.
Uh-huh. And the hitchhiker that they get, Elsa, is like, oh, that's just my mom doing her primal scream therapy. Mom, shut up. We have guests. And she does.
Mm-hmm. Turns right back into a lady who is clearly playing old, but is not old.
Nope. And it's so weird because this family, they definitely do want to have the Texas Chainsaw vibes. There's one of the people in the family who's in a suit that, you know, when they first get there, cuts the head off of a chicken sort of off screen.
Yeah.
But has an axe. But when he's actually chasing after when they kill the band,
he has
a weed whacker that he is wielding in the same way that Bubba wields the chainsaw.
Yeah. And any other scene is usually just him sitting there with an axe and gloves.
And, you know, between the sort of like suit that he is wearing and the way that he waves it around, you're like, this is very clearly influenced by Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah.
But the way that the entire family is set up, you're like, but this feels like, again, a fucking sitcom horror episode where you're like, ah, come to our house. It's so nice. Grandma's a werewolf. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, the fucking monster's great. The weirdest thing about this is that there is a patriarch of the family. You have two older adult dudes. You have the guy who takes pictures, and you have Axe Guy.
Yep.
You have Grandma, who's a werewolf. You have two little person adults. And then there's Grandpa. But you won't see Grandpa until he is in a sex scene with his wife way later in the movie.
Yes.
And then after that, he's the patriarch and main character of the family until some major turnarounds occur. They just kind of forget to introduce him here. I'm going to guess because they just didn't have that actor yet.
Yeah.
And that this was filmed in sequence for some reason. And certainly because I would say, oh gosh, 60, 65, 70% of this movie is day for night.
Yeah.
Oh my God, is this ever a movie that just takes place on a planet where the sun is blue?
Now, the actual, like, when they get there, nothing fucked up happens to them to start because we have to have filler of the band, as we mentioned, just sort of dancing around town, being fucking like, oh, we're going to do the whole like walk like an Egyptian or the fucking like dance sequence from Breakfast Club.
Yeah, one of them can do some really basic skateboard tricks. Let's make sure we get all of those on camera.
Oh, hell yeah.
And they're gonna pump up and amuse the locals, except for the grown up adults who are all going to look at them disapprovingly.
I love that they had four disapproving adults. And for a multiple minutes long filler scene of these band members like jumping on a car and posing and running around and dancing and doing shitty skateboard tricks, it is constantly cutting back to the same four guys making the same four disapproving faces.
Yeah, they use the same shots.
It's just...
And again, in one of those bits that kind of sticks because it's so weird, all of their names rhyme with Ed for some reason. All four of the disapproving adults are named like Ed, Ted, Fred, and Red. And they only ever say it once. There's one scene where they're like, yeah, it'd be a shame if those guys got to play their concert, wouldn't it, Red? I think it'd probably be illegal, Red or Ted. What do you think, Fred? Well, Ed, I agree with Fred. And you're like, the fuck was that? And then they just never say their names again.
No, that is a thing in this movie where you're like, oh, someone had a joke.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter for the plot and no one wrote it down afterwards to go like, oh, you should remember your character's name is Fred. No, it was, I had an idea for a joke. Let's put that on camera. Moving on.
Yeah, don't
worry. Nothing was written. There's no script.
Yeah, exactly. This movie feels just so haphazard. I don't think that's an especially good joke. I don't want to say it's one of the bits of spaghetti that stuck. I'm just saying it's one of the bits of spaghetti on the floor.
Yes, it is definitely one of the bits that was thrown.
Yes. It is previously airborne spaghetti.
Now, the sheriff, of course, is one of these four disapproving, and so he finds an excuse to throw him in jail.
Well, there's a town meeting first because you got to have like
no They get thrown in jail first.
I could have sworn they got thrown in jail before the town meeting, but you know, it's fine, whatever. They get thrown in a cartoon ass jail that is clearly part of a display about what life was like in the old West.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has a straw floor.
Full cardboard ass jail cell here. And of course, who can come along to save them with bail money but Cassie, where Jesse immediately is like, oh, Cassie, oh, you're so pretty. Oh, I got a song about you. Why don't you come over here and give me that money? And I'm like, ugh.
And he gives it back to her right away because she tries to buy them bail money and somehow they end up with the money in their hands, but they get bailed out by their manager, who's arriving slightly after them in a different car.
Yeah.
So he comes and bails them out, and then he's trying to give her bail money back, and she like won't take it.
And he's then like, her dad shows up and is like, get out of here. Don't talk to these guys.
Yeah. He's like, here, just take this money back. We didn't need it. I don't need it. She's like, no, you should keep it. And I'm like, why? You didn't give it to him because he was poor. You gave it to him for bail.
Yeah, but it was like, I mean, I guess it's 84, but still, it was like 20 bucks. So.
Yeah, I know. But still, like if I try to loan a guy 20 bucks and the first thing he says is, oh, it turns out I didn't need it, I wouldn't be like, you should keep it anyway. I want you to have that 20 bucks you don't need.
Keep that $20, you.
You baby bird. Go out there and fly.
Get out of here, you disgusting pedophile. Here's 20 bucks. I'm going to give you 20 bucks to fuck off.
You're supposed to be the character we like. But then they have
the emergency town meeting.
The emergency town meeting, which is just like 7 minutes of business. It's supposed to be like, oh, they're going to agree that they don't want rock and roll in their town because they're a small town of small-minded hicks, right?
Yeah, because they're also trying to be like, oh, we need a way to stop this band from performing because technically there is nothing illegal about them performing. So they're basically having a meeting to make it illegal for them to perform.
Except that instead of doing that, they do a bunch of like, okay, so I'm now calling this meeting to order. Do each of us have a stupid bit of business about our character that we can lean on for the next 3 minutes? Oh, I can kind of do a stutter. Okay, great. Definitely do that. Do that.
All right, we're going to do that. That'll take up more time, and that's all this matters for.
Uh-huh.
The beginning of this is just, you know, the main chairman going like, all right, our meeting is in order. And he goes, all right, this is I want to bring some business to this emergency session. Well, and then the other guy's like, is it a session or a meeting?
Well, let's have a vote on whether or not it's a session or a meeting. And you could just see the director doing the rolling his finger to keep it going. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you're doing is great.
And they're like, well, we'll have a vote on it. And one guy votes that it's a meeting. One guy votes it's a session. And the guy who brought up the we should decide if it's a session or a meeting abstains and is like, I don't care one way or the other. And that was one of the few bits of spaghetti that stuck for me. And I was like, oh, that's good.
Especially because after that, they're like, well, okay, point of order. The guy who voted that it's a meeting can't vote because he's the chairman. He can only vote to break ties, which means
it's a 1-0 instead of a 1-1.
That means it's a session unless you want to vote against it, but you don't have a vote. You don't have an opinion. He goes, no, hold on. I said I don't have an opinion at this time. And he's like, wow, are they ever stretching this?
Yeah.
Then they bring up three women, each of whom says that they read in a magazine that rock and roll is bad.
Yeah.
Except for the third one who says, I'm sorry, as you all know, my mom is sick in the hospital. She sent me with a note about how she read in a magazine that rock and roll is bad.
Yes. It's, rock and roll has hidden messages. Bands can't even play rock music unless they do drugs.
Eat drugs.
And of course,
no animal. Eat drugs.
Don't eat drugs. And then the third one is, rock music leads to sexual intercourse.
Which causes a lot of shit in the room where they're like, oh, it leads to self-abuse. And one guy's like, oh, yeah, I do
self-abuse. What are you talking about?
Someone explains it to him and he goes, oh, masturbating. Remember when we got that goat and I would have you hold it from the front and then I'd come up from the back and like, well, hold on. That's not what this meeting is. And they eventually vote that, like, yes, we have
that rock music is illegal.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, oh, and that means it's not just that they can't play. It's that all rock music is illegal in the town, which means you can't own it, the radio station can't play it, and if anyone even sings it outside, then they are in trouble. And he's like, what? That's not what we voted on. He's like, oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. And he's like, well, who's the fucking idiot who wrote all that? And the point of order, sir, you were the one who did that. No, I wasn't. And then it ends with the cop yelling at everybody to go home and get all their rocks so they can have another long scene where they spend a bunch of time just hitting records with hammers.
Yep. God damn. It is a lot.
And it's the part of the movie where you're just sitting there like, am I allowed to skip ahead when I make movie reviews or no?
And mostly the only thing that really comes out of it even a little, besides the fact that rock is, I guess, illegal in this town now, is that Cassie's father at the end, like, has a shotgun, is like, I'll take care of those rock musicians.
Yes.
And will never encounter them again.
No. Like, he will occasionally run into them in group scenes, but it doesn't matter. But yeah, he does threaten to shoot them at one point, which seems like it's going to be a big dramatic moment. Like, even to the point where the manager who was at the meeting being like, hey, am I allowed to talk?
Oh, and, shit, I got to go stop that.
Yeah, he's, wait, am I allowed to have a say? No, sit down, city boy. And then he's like, you all look like a bunch of damn fools. I'm going to go shoot them kids. Now, technically, that happens in a different scene where they're smashing the records with hammers, but who gives a shit? So he manages to wrestle the guy for a second and have Cassie go try to warn the band.
Yeah.
Which she will not do.
Now,
none of that's going to matter.
Meanwhile...
Let's not forget that, by the way, that Jesse on the drive up and also at the building.
That is what I'm going to say.
Please go ahead then.
I didn't mention it before that on the drive up he has this, but it cuts to when we get away from this. He is sitting around practicing a song that he found in a book that is an old Latin song to resurrect the dead.
Yeah, he found it in an old ancient book.
And
he's just sitting there singing the same sentence in fake Latin over and over again.
Yep. And we have a scene where basically he's sitting there doing that, and then a tarantula shows up, and he's like, ah, and squishes it, goes back to playing, and the tarantula comes back to life. And he's like, oh, shit, the song does work.
Yeah, either that or you're the weirdest spider I ever did see.
I don't know why we're giving him a southern accent.
No,
he very much does not have
one.
No,
he just has a boring accent.
Yeah, he just sounds like a regular-ass guy.
Yeah.
But, we're just giving him business that he has not earned.
See, folks, now that is an important lesson that you should share with your children, that creeps who want to abduct them or mess with them just sound like regular people.
They're just regular guys.
They sound just like you or me, which is why it's important to learn how to suss out tricky people.
The sussy bacas.
But yeah, so basically there is a song you can sing that brings the dead to life. That's going to be one of the major gimmicks of this.
Now, he does that. Meanwhile, the band gets murdered. So,
in a series of elaborate, stupid shots, the band gets murdered by the weirdos in the house.
Yeah, so Elsa, the sexy hitchhiker lady, goes to take a shower, and one of the band members, without being invited, just gets naked and joins her.
Yes.
And then she kills him, and I'm like, good.
And it also, it's one of the better lines in the movie, where the two of them are like making out.
Oh, this is like, this is so romantic. You must watch a lot of movies.
Yeah, this is like The Devil and Miss Jones.
And she's like, oh, it's like Psycho.
Yeah.
And then stabs him to death in a shower. Great.
Devil in Miss Jones, right. So he's down. The main band leader guy, Jesse, gets chased down by the axe guy with a weed whacker. But that's when, that's right. Cassie does get to him to warn him that people are coming to town, but he's too busy running away from a murderer.
Oh yeah.
So he's just like, here's a tape of that song I made that brings people from the dead.
If I don't make it, play this.
Yeah. And then the other two just, one of them
died to the grandma.
The werewolf gets one of them. And I forget the last one.
No, they both died to the grandma.
The grandma, the werewolf grandma gets both of them. There is a scene in this where the grandma in her human form is having sex with her old ass husband. And that's when you first get to meet him. And he has a thick German accent. Fake.
And he's, you know, she's like, oh, you're 98 years old or whatever. And you're still so virile. And he's like, yes, it's mein concoction. And then says a bunch of shit in German.
Ach, mein vitamins. Yeah.
And
then the two little people pop up and are like, we want to watch.
And that's when you get the like, oh, you get out of here. You can't watch this. And then the grandma being like, what's the harm? Let him watch. And
we let
like,
the children watch.
It's bad enough we let the kids watch it. Now the grandkids? And
so just so you know, the two little person actors are supposed to be Elsa and either the photographer guy or the axe guy's kids, apparently. Or none of these people are related, and they just have kids who sometimes come over to watch them have sex that aren't part of this.
Who knows?
We don't know.
No one knows.
Mm-hmm.
Because the movie doesn't care, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
And then they're like, all right, you can stay. I can't say no to your cute little faces. And then they go right back to having sex.
Uh-huh. So that's the introduction of Weirdo Grandpa. He won't show up again until a very Texas Chainsaw Massacre-esque dinner scene.
Yep. Which, after all of them die...
The band.
Yeah. The band dies. They have a funeral. which we don't get to see. We get to see the Texas Chainsaw ass dinner afterwards.
Yes.
Where they're all like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's so good when someone dies because then everyone gets together and, mm-hmm. hey, it's great.
I like a nice funeral or two. And the old grandpa being like, yes, I like a death because it means more for the rest of us.
And the manager, for some reason, who
is still there,
had no interactions with this family until now, is just hanging out and is like, hey, they were my friends.
Like, just don't be here, dude. What are you doing at this dinner? Go away.
And the eventually, after they all start yelling at each other, the grandfather stands up and is like, no more masks.
A light goes off on his desk. We are never we have no idea what that is, but at a certain point, he has a big light on his on the table in front of where he sits at the dinner table.
And he's like, finally.
Ah, finally. No more masks. And he stands up and, by all means, please do the honors.
Rips his mask off. And you're like, wait a minute. No way. Takes the like front wear that he was wearing off. And it is indeed Hitler.
It's Hitler, and his grandma, the werewolf grandma, is established to, yes, she's been named Ava.
Uh-huh.
And their daughter is Ilsa. Do you get it? What a random moment.
Holy shit. They did not need to do that. And it is one of those bits where I was like, oh, yeah, that's clearly a thing they had filmed for the in-the-background movie.
Oh, for sure, because it's a shock moment to have them go like, and of course I'm Hitler. And you're like,
oh, yeah. It's the kind of thing where you're like, yeah, that's the stupid moment you have in the movie within a movie because you're like, we don't need to set up or pay off any of this. We can just have little snippets. And when you see it in the background, it's like, oh, you were Hitler all along. And that's it. That's all you see. So it doesn't matter. It's just a fun gag. But in this, he reveals that he is Hitler. And we are 45 minutes in and have half of the movie left. And you're like, you're going to spend 45 minutes with a Hitler now? What?
Don't worry, you're not.
But no.
Because, he reveals his Hitler. You get one moment where the manager's like, but you're... And he goes, what? You think I am dead?
You think I would shoot myself in a bunker?
No, I'm not a stupid. And then he like immediately...
I have a job for you, manager.
Yeah, he keeps offering him a job. We never know what it's going to be necessarily.
I need a smart young man. And then... shows him to his gas chamber.
Before that, though, there's a scene where right as he just goes, I would not shoot myself in a bunker. I'm not some stupid. And then he just sort of pivots to the right, and he's already standing in front of like a big world stage with swastika lights on the various continents. And he starts doing a speech to somebody. I guess they're recording him on TV.
I guess.
And he's just like, yeah, and we're going to take over this part of the world, and we're going to do this, and death to the Juden, and the people who are deformed. And I'm like, you have little person grandkids who you let watch you fuck, though. Are you,
Nope.
Don't worry about it. No time for questions. This is a movie made out of a different thing.
This is a movie made out of another movie that was not supposed to be a movie.
Can't stop, must throw spaghetti.
So, after he shows the fucking manager his gas chamber, the manager runs off and is like, ah, shit, I don't want to be a part of this. And that is when Cassie takes the tape that Jesse gave her and goes to their graves. They have four freshly dug graves for these band members.
Yep.
And she is sitting there crying at Jesse's grave and being like, oh, I love you, and I've got your ring you gave me, and oh, if only we could be together. And I should also mention, it is established that they are going to this town, and that Don Mattson, the person who's like the big record producer that they are going to play for,
yes,
is going to be there
yes.
tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Which means everything that we have mentioned, including the town arresting them, having a whole meeting to ban them, them dying, having a funeral, Hitler being introduced, and this girl showing up, happens in about 12 hours.
Yeah, give or take, yes.
So,
but don't forget all the montage of them walking through and charming all the younger locals. That yes. also happens in that time period as well. So yeah, it all happens in the course of about half a day. What's wild to me is that they don't want to go to this little town to do their terrible show, and Mattson doesn't want to go out there to see them. He's like, I don't want to go out to the sticks in the one scene in the movie he's in. So I'm like, why is anyone meeting here?
Yeah, it's a weird choice that they'd be like, oh, yeah, we got to play this fucking thing because Mattson's going to be there. I'm like, why? Why wouldn't you have a show somewhere that he would actually be? Because they made it sound like, oh, he's just going to be at the show.
Yeah.
Not to see you or because he is here for some other reason. Like, he's just going to be at the show and we got to play well because he'll be around.
Yeah, I don't know and it doesn't matter. But anyway, she plays the tape and lo and behold, they burst forth from the ground. Now, these are the first zombies we see in the movie.
Yep.
And they lead you to the impression that zombies in this movie, the visual parlance of them, the language for zombies in this film, will be that you get face paint, Kiss style face paint, but with more color. So there's like blue and red on their faces as well. So they look a little clowny.
Yeah. But they've got that whole like, ooh, I've got like a pattern going over one of my eyes yes. and shit.
They also are all dressed like Michael Jackson now with the jackets and everything. And then also that they all walk slowly, but in that like German new wave style, as if they were all just like Ditas.
Yeah, it's a lot of like, oh, we're doing kind of a robotic herky jerky movement. So not the like zombie type of thing, but instead
it's like a dance.
Yeah, they're basically like, oh, it's because music brought them to life, so they're kind of like moving to a rhythm, doing like a, oh, we can kind of move to the beat sort
yeah but
of
it's,
thing.
It's all very slow and it involves a lot of arm stuff, like they're all kind of doing like voguing as they walk like the whole time, and I can't stress this enough, no one else will do this.
No, it's just the band that does this, but they get up from the dead and then immediately murder the entire Nazi family.
Yes. So you're thinking, okay, well, I think I know what this movie is. They're probably going to murder, at the very least, that dude who said he was going to show up to kill the four of them. So the dad of Cassie is going to show up. He'll probably get killed by them. And then the Nazi family, who went through this process to elaborately murder all of them, are going to get murdered back in a revenge-y sort of way, and it's going to be
the rest
we're
going to have a one-by-one, like, ooh, we're going to like hunt down and kill these Nazis so that you can be like, yeah, we're going to cheer for you killing off Nazis. Great.
So they do kill off all of the Nazi family in a two-minute montage.
Yeah, just immediately murder all of them, and that was the moment where I paused and went, how is there 45 minutes left in this? The rest of the movie should have been the, and now the zombies hunt down the Nazis, because that's what this would be in a normal movie.
Yeah.
Is, oh, now our heroes are back from the dead for revenge, and they get it. That's the climax, and we'll do that. But instead, it's just, no, they immediately kill them, and then they're done, and they fuck off.
Yeah, and if you're thinking, oh, well, at least it might be gory and interesting, don't worry, it absolutely isn't. All the deaths on this movie are just blood flying in from off screen. Occasionally, a person holds what is clearly like a chicken liver or something in their hand, and it's like, blah, gore and gluck.
Yeah, we get, like, honestly, of several of them are just like, oh, I grab you and then throw you down and now you are dead.
I mean, the Hitler kill is fucking hilarious because Hitler's standing out in the middle of his, like, the entryway to his house. Nine, you're zombies, nine. And he's like shooting a gun that does nothing. And they very slowly do their dance slow walk around him in a circle, then link their hands together above him. And then we cut to a camera shot from below in the middle where he would be. And they bring their hands down in like a group, like they're doing like a hand holding exercise at a summer camp or something.
Huh?
And I guess they just squish him to death with their hands.
I guess. Because you also get, like, the grandkids just get their heads bonked together, and that is enough to kill them.
Donk!
The only one who really gets, like, a gruesome death is the one with the weed whacker, who gets stabbed through the throat and pinned to a wall.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, that was at least something. But everyone else is like, I will paw at you briefly, and now you are dead.
Yeah, so if you're wondering, the answer to the question that you're wondering here, you might be thinking, oh, well, okay, I guess the other thing in town was that the town was mean to them by banning rock and roll, so they're going to turn their vengeance on the town next or something. You can put that out of your mind. That's not what happens.
No, now they get their equipment and go play some music.
They go do their performance like they're supposed to, and then the zombie Nazis, because they're zombies, rise up and start doing their own shit, and that's the rest of the movie.
And it would be one thing if you were like, oh, well, the risen band like bit them or did whatever and turned them into zombies, but I was like, two of them just got their heads knocked together, like they didn't even get injured by the zombies doing anything.
I assume
them.
Cassie just left that tape playing,
I guess,
so that they're all just getting up because of that, like they're just getting resurrected by the tape.
But the Nazi zombies who rise from the dead are like classic zombies, because like the
all but one of them,
the
yeah.
band basically gets up and is like, oh, we're like weird
mind
like,
zombies,
mind zombies, but we go back and we can not just like pretend to play, like, oh, I'm going to put up keyboard and put my fingers on it, I can't actually play, but I'm doing the whole like zombie remembers his previous life thing. Oh no, they can fully play and sing.
Yeah, they can sing their, they just do that Cassie song again, because every song in this movie is in this movie twice.
Well, once
in its entirety twice.
Oh yeah, once they become the zombies, they will be on stage and do three full songs while the rest of this movie is happening in the background.
Yes.
Because the band is just like, oh, we're just music now.
We got a set list to do. I'm not breaking it for any kind of reason. Now, notably, this is funny because the fact that they can sing goes against the logic of the movie, where they establish that you can tell who is or is not a zombie in the town while they're all panicking, because the zombies can't talk.
Yeah.
But they can sing.
He can talk. He can talk. He can talk. I can sing.
Yeah. So that's just wild. But yeah, we mentioned earlier that people would be coming to the house to try and run these either kill or run these rock and roll assholes out of town. And instead, they encounter a bunch of dead Nazis who rise from the dead and infect everybody else. And now it's a zombie panic.
Yeah.
Now, I want to get this across. Most of the zombies, as you mentioned, are just zombies.
Yeah.
Hitler, the little person, the axe guy, they're all just zombies. You never see photography guy again.
Oh, yeah. And everyone that they like kill and that they rise up are just, again, standard ass zombies.
One exception.
Yeah.
Elsa. Elsa gets turned into a music video groupie with a little bit of white pancake makeup and some cool stripes for her eyes.
Oh, yeah. She gets the heavy cat eye makeup, where it's just like, oh, the entire like thing is black and then big streak to the side.
Now, she'll kill a few people, but mostly she will spend the next 40 minutes of this movie dancing and just to nothing, because she's nowhere near the band.
Oh yeah,
doesn't hear them.
It'll be like, the zombies are going through town and attacking someone. Cut to Elsa does a dance. Cut back to zombies attacking people. Cut to Elsa's still dancing.
She's still doing a dance. She's wearing that blue aerobicized costume and doing a dance in the middle of a road. And then every once in a while, someone will be like, ah, a zombie, and you'll see her stalking towards them, still doing groupie dance.
Oh, yeah.
Doing some Tawny Katane rolling around in a car type shit. And then she'll menace someone, and then we'll cut away. And usually we'll just cut away to her dancing, because this movie is 40% her dancing.
Oh, God. So Don Mattson shows up for this gig and, of course, absolutely loves our band.
I like that he only is in this movie for one scene, and they're like, you're a sleazy record producer. And he's like, got it. Okay. Hey, boys, nobody else showed up to your concert. I don't care. I can make or break you. Someone bring me a phone. I'm going to be on three phone calls at once while I watch your show, and I'm also going to be smoking cigars.
But he immediately loves them. He's like, hey, cancel all my meetings. Cancel my meeting with Paramount. Cancel London. Cancel Los Angeles. These guys are going to be huge.
It's 1984 amazing. And the music is terrible.
In this world that we live in, zombies are real and music sucks even worse than this does.
Because, yeah, he's just freaking out to their kind of like, I don't know, soft inspirational jams.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
they sound like If the Cars Couldn't Get It Up.
The town has holed up in some like bunker somewhere, basically in like a back room somewhere.
Just a bunch of new characters pop up one by one to do business in the bunker. So you've got like a really old man out of nowhere for one routine.
It's the same guy doing the same character, but with less fake beard, where we had a guy who was like, oh, I'm doing like a stereotypical Jewish accent, and I need to tell you that there are ghouls, and the Nazis are ghouls, and the only way to kill them is to, I've died.
Yeah, he's like, I must tell you that, because I'm the lucky one, because I am already dying, and I'm afraid that I was the one who... And then later they get just because everyone's the same guy.
It's the same guy.
Now he's a young nerd instead.
No, there is him who is the guy who has like the mustache and is like, We'll need to get a virgin. A virgin.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Because you have the old Eastern European guy who keeps saying virgin. But I wasn't even talking about him yet. I was talking about how they suddenly have a young nerd in their group.
Oh, I know.
Who's like, well, I'm looking in this book, and it says that some ghouls don't eat heads, which means they're afraid of heads, which means we need to dress up as giant heads.
We need to get heads, and that will turn them away. Just like vampires are afraid of the cross because they are repulsed by the Lord. Ghouls don't like brains because they aren't intelligent, and the head is the source of intelligence. So they get big poster boards with like the busts of different celebrities.
Yeah, it's like the main one is like a picture of Madonna or something.
Well, they've got like a Marilyn Monroe and an Elvis and a whole bunch of just celebrity busts. And they go out with these giant poster boards of the heads of celebrities, and oddly, it works until it doesn't. Like, they go out there and show it to the zombies, and they're like, ah, and the zombies all cringe and run away from it, until finally one of them just goes, nah, fuck it, and then knocks it away, and then they all get turned.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned it earlier, but then I breezed past it because I needed to talk about something else because I'm a jerk, but there was a scene where Hitler, before he gets zombified, takes the manager guy to his secret mountain bunker where he is basically built a new gas chamber for himself.
Yeah, I had mentioned that several times.
You mentioned it, but I cut you off and I wanted to make sure, because it's really important for later, apparently, that he builds a gas chamber.
No, that's why I mentioned it twice.
Yeah. No, I know.
Is because it's a main plot point.
It shouldn't be in it, yet it is.
And yet here we are.
Yeah.
So, of course, the zombies then come back to the bunker and have enough wherewithal to take the giant poster board heads, hold them up so that the nerd, like, lets when they knock on the door and he sees, he's like, oh, it worked. I'm a genius. You guys survived because you had my big poster boards of heads. And then they, like, lower them and it's all zombies. And he's like, oh, fuck, shit.
Except instead of, oh, fuck, shit, or screaming or anything, he just gets pushed to the ground by the zombies and he yells, don't believe everything you read. And you're just kind of waiting for someone, like, you know, a slide whistle or a why not, 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 one of those.
Oh, yeah. It is a real bad.
Now here's Roy.
Yeah. It is like a you can't do that on television level bullshit moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally just a gag. And he is that nerd character gets introduced into the movie by banging on the door of the bunker as he's being chased by zombies, being let me in. And they're like, no, you're a zombie. And someone else is like, but he can talk. He couldn't possibly be a zombie. Now, there are other bits of business here. For example, there are two people who are out in the woods to, you know, make the devil sex. And the woman's like, I couldn't be with you if I ever heard you had been with any other woman. Have you been with another woman? You have to tell me if you had. I think I'd lose my mind if I knew that. Please, please tell me you've never been with another woman. I'm telling you, Darlene May, I ain't never been with no other woman. Now kiss me now. And then one of the little person zombies lures him off screen briefly and throws his head back.
Yeah.
So her bit of business is she'll spend the rest of the movie jealously guarding the head to make sure no other women get too close to it.
Yes. Even when she turns into a zombie, she will still, as a zombie, carry this head around.
Yes.
Now, the guy who was the, like, old stereotypical weird Jewish guy who had info about ghouls but died before he could give it, then also plays another guy with the same accent but is like, oh, and we need a young, unspoiled virgin that we can tie up in the moonlight because ghouls, the only way they can have sex is if there's a virgin under moonlight. And if they do, they will all, like, fuck her and then eat her and then go to sleep for 100 years.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll be someone else's problem.
Yeah, luckily we have that old tying up a virgin to it tree over on the hill up on yonder.
But where are we going to find a virgin? And that's when Cassie shows up at the bunker.
But first they look to like the town ugly,
like,
old
there's
lady.
An old lady there. She's like, don't look at me.
Don't look at me, no. And then Cassie shows up, gets immediately grabbed, and the manager's like, I'll try and save you. I'm going to go wake up Jesse about it.
Yeah.
Because Jesse, he's finished his set by this point. Now, obviously, as we mentioned earlier, the manager or the record producer guy fucking loves him and is like, I'm signing you boys immediately for $500,000. But they're zombies. They don't kill him. They just get back in their van and drive back to their graves.
Yep. Get back in them. And the dirt just sort of like magically goes back up above them.
So he's yelling about how you don't ignore him and he's going to ruin them in this town or whatever. And then he gets killed by zombies. And then he has the wherewithal to go sit back down in his seat at the movie theater after he's been zombified and wait for the manager to come running up and be like, hey, mister, have you seen the band? It's such an honor to finally meet you. And then he's like, ah, zombie.
Yeah, we get a whole bit of business there where it's, oh, I used to, you know, think like you and all of my business acumen came from you and I idolized you, but now I realize what's important is life.
What's important is that I need to waste about 2 minutes of this movie by talking to you while you sit there.
Yeah, but the whole bit is, oh, he's a zombie, and every time he goes to grab him, the guy's like, and you know, and then moves to the side, so yeah, the zombie misses him. It's all just visual gags that takes a while.
Yeah, and eventually he realizes, wait a minute, you're a damn zombie. I never liked you and I never will. And then he runs away.
So the manager manages to get over to the graves for the band and is like, Jesse, you gotta raise back up from the dead. I've got the ring that you gave Cassie and they're gonna like...
Someone else is
going
to deflower that teenager, and I know that's kind of your...
And that's what gets him to be like, oh, shit.
Oh, God. I know that's kind of your thing, and, you know, I really wanted to talk to you about this before we got famous.
So, that gets them up from the grave.
30 stories high.
Godzilla. Yeah, the townspeople tie Cassie to a tree in
the worst day for night shot you've ever seen.
Quote unquote moonlight.
Yeah, because most of this movie is just blue because they're doing day for night. But for that one shot, I guess because it's a wide shot and the sun was probably straight up in the shot, they do day for night. And then they also put a black bar over the top half of the screen.
Oh.
So the mountains just disappear at a certain point in the distance behind her. They just stop at a black bar.
Yeah. Now, they tie her up. It works, of course. All of the zombies then start making lewd faces and gestures as they march towards our tied-up heroine. And before they can get there, though, the band starts playing, and they start playing their fake bullshit Latin resurrection song, which can... I guess also attract the zombies that are already existing.
Yes, they just
and
want
they
to
just piper them into a like cave,
a cave wall. But luckily, that turns out to be the secret entrance to the Hitler bunker, which is weird because the manager knew about the Hitler bunker, but the band didn't.
Yep. So they lead all of these zombies into the Hitler bunker. Meanwhile, the manager put a zombie mask on and saves Cassie.
Yeah,
and they get into the gas chamber and then start the gas, and I guess gas can kill zombies, which feels like a very weird thing to be like, ah, yes, gas, that'll do it.
I mean, they do establish that the gas has some pretty powerful physical effects, because there's a part where Hitler's explaining what the gases do, and he's like, well, this one makes your lungs fill up with piss and pus, piss and pus, piss and pus, piss and pus. Because, you know, you got to fill some time.
Yeah, you got to fill time.
Got to fill some time. So I guess it just physically destroys them. Now, the band chooses to stay in there. Throughout the movie, whenever she encounters them, Ilsa will just sort of groupie around the band.
Oh, yeah. Even just doing her fun little dance.
There's even a scene where Cassie has fled the zombies, makes it to the band while they're still on stage, and is running around between them and trying to, like, stay away from her. And she sort of slinks around and does her dance attacks at Cassie. But she's in there with a band, and so she collapses across them, and they all die in a group.
Yeah,
everyone
dies.
But that won't
stop
them from somehow being in their graves again later, don't you worry.
I mean, I guess probably the manager and Cassie was like, oh, let's bury them again.
Let's go back into that gas chamber full of poison gas, get the four bodies of the four guys, but not the other zombie bodies, bury them in the same horrible graves that they gave them in the first place, which were a mockery.
Oh, yeah, the graves in the yard of the Nazi family that killed them.
Yes.
Leave them there, and then, you know, fuck off. And that's, like, the end of the movie is Cassie just being like, oh, I'll always love you.
I'll love you forever. And then the hand bursts forth from the grave again with a ring in it.
Yeah. She's like, just to give her the ring back.
You'll love me too. And she's like making out with his nasty dirt hand.
Ugh.
And then the movie's over.
Yep. That's Jesus fucking Christ. That is that's Hard Rock Zombies for you. Let's go ahead and get our bests and worsts. Jeff, what was the best thing in Hard Rock Zombies?
It's a hard one, isn't it? By the way, I don't want to set aside that while we did establish that one of the two little person actors is running around killing people, and that's Mickey, the one that's, what's his name, Fondacaro.
Yeah.
The other one just sits quietly in a corner for the whole rest of the movie and eats himself.
Yeah. Just in the same way that it will occasionally cut to Elsa doing her little dance, it will cut to Bucky just sitting there eating parts of himself. And as we mentioned, you know, eating in quotes, because it is just, I'm stabbing a fake hand, and then I put a little piece of, like, rubbery something near my mouth, and then we put chewing sounds.
Nom. Also, he spoons sugar all over himself as he's eating himself.
Yeah, so he puts mustard on his hand at first, and then sugar later.
Yeah, now, the only reason I mention that is because it's, like, the second to last shot of the movie is him finally finishing to eating all the skin off himself, so he's just a skull lying there.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, he's gonna burp, here comes the burp. And I was like, hey, I got
Yay.
One. but yeah, so that's what happened to that one. It just because I thought that was kind of, they just keep cutting to it. It's worth mentioning. All right. Best thing in the movie for me, I'm probably going to say the emergency town council meeting, because, or the Hitler reveal, because either one of those, the Hitler reveal is, because it's just the thing that where you go, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck am I? What? Because at least it gets you kind of a reaction out of you.
Yeah. It is the kind of thing where you're like, all right, I guess this movie is doing that then.
Okay, sure. All right, I guess it's a Hitler movie.
Yep.
It's disappointing when he dies 3 minutes later in a montage sequence, but it is pretty much a shock when it happens.
Yeah, that's so fair.
What's your favorite thing?
I mean, probably the you've got to judge the wet t-shirt contest and the prize is your pants.
Yeah.
I went, hey, that was a good line. Good for you.
I could have sworn it was winner gets in your pants, but I prefer your version.
No, it is straight up, and the prize is your pants.
Okay.
So that was my favorite thing. What was your least favorite thing? And please try to narrow it down.
Be specific. Well, it's the music. The music fucking sucks. This band and their dumb, boring, not hard rock songs. I don't know if in the 84 they didn't have a strong definition of hard rock yet, but I feel like they should have.
The same hard rock. You're getting the best.
It's like that fucking infomercial for Time Life Presents Punk. You know, like, why can't I get a single CD that has all the hardest punk tunes on it? You know, like Richard Marx.
Christopher Cross.
Yeah, it's like that, where you're like, this isn't hard rock. What are you doing?
The fuck?
Honestly, I can't be that mad. Holy Moses is not a bad band. They just aren't hard rock.
No. So I mean, the thing is, they are exactly as hard rock as Kiss is, and
yes.
Kiss is constantly used as like this was a big rock band, and everyone was terrified of them. And you look back, and you're like, that's very quaint.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, I'm going to pick a specific filler element to say I didn't care for, and I'm going to say it was all of the Elsa dancing in the street scenes,
because sure.
It's like 10 minutes of this. It's just her slinkily going, ooh, look at me, I can kind of do a fushigi ball movement.
I'm very good at getting my legs very high up.
I'm very slinky, and I don't know what I'm doing or why, but I'll do it here, and I'll do it in the yard of the house, and I'll do it on the stage where you guys are performing. That's all I'm gonna do.
Yep, that's my whole damn thing.
It's so boring. What's your least favorite thing?
Oh, man. I mean, it's probably gotta be, like, back to back my bests and worsts, because it's, the worst is, Jesse, who is a man of principle, leaves and sees a 15-year-old and is like, hey, cutie. And you're like, oh, nope.
Oop, yeah, no.
You immediately lost everything good.
Probably should have said that, but I felt like I dwelled on it enough throughout the episode to make it clear that my displeasure was vocal.
Oh, yeah. But it is definitely one of those things where I was like, oh, gross. Why? No, stop that.
Yeah. If the movie just did nothing, every time Cassie was on screen, they had a message right across her, like a bar that just said, this character is 18 to 25. Then I'd be like, it's still not good enough, guys. This is creepy.
No. Hate it. Bad.
Yeah. That is very bad.
Now, we will each give this movie a rating from 0 to 5 to give us a total rating out of 10. Jeff.
1.5. It's got a lot of entertaining moments, which are sort of shocking, but none of them make me do anything other than kind of go, oh, I was falling asleep and now I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best. That's the biggest reaction you get.
No,
it'll
occasionally give you a lifeline.
Yeah. You're just sort of like, they're still doing that, huh? We're still doing it.
We're just doing montage shit. What the fuck? Hitler.
Hitler. What? Oh,
Okay, well, no, right. that should probably be interesting. Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, no, they immediately killed everyone. Okay,
yeah, well. Okay, never mind. So, yeah, 1.5. What about you?
1.5 honestly feels right. It's not good. It's weird enough that while you are watching it, you're like, what the fuck am I watching?
Yes.
But it isn't entertaining. It's just occasionally weird enough to get your attention.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, it's perfect for what it was originally intended to be.
Yeah. As a thing that is, oh, occasionally you see something that is weird enough to make you go, what the fuck?
Look at the screen. What the fuck are they watching?
What is happening back there?
Yeah.
It is perfect for that.
Yeah.
And terrible as an actual 1.5-hour long movie.
Yes.
So 3 out of 10 for Hard Rock Zombies. And you love to see it, but you hate to watch it.
Pretty much exactly how I felt. Yeah. I like you. Knowing this dumb thing exists.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Movie Mastery. We will, of course, be back in another couple weeks. But if you want to support the show, you like what we're doing, and you want some more to listen to, you can head on over to patreon.com/systemmastery. Support us there at any level. It helps the show, lets us keep doing what we're doing, and any amount of support gets you bonus content from us.
Yeah.
So any amount gets you that. If you go up to the high-end $10 level, it unlocks all of our bonus content, the monthly show, our show where we make characters in role-playing games, the show where we talk about the lore for generally Star Wars and occasionally other shit.
You get used to it being Star Wars, and then we turn it around on you.
And then we do some other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And our TV Mastery, where we are still going through right now, WMAC Masters, getting into season 2 now, where we are no longer just some guys fighting for a star. Baby, now we've got plot.
Yeah, there's like bad guys and shit, but it does cost us Shannon Lee.
Yeah. Ugh. Rest in peace. The one member of that family that's still alive. Rest in peace.
I'm assuming there's others that are still alive.
None of them. The only surviving member from that family.
She chose to end the bloodline with herself.
So join us for that over at patreon.com/systemmastery. And if you can't support us financially, but you still want to help out, you can always rate and review the show.
Or our books.
Or go over to our books, go to Amazon, even if you didn't buy it through them, just leave a review there. Shit, even if you didn't buy it at all, just give it 5 stars and say, this is amazing, a great gift for anyone.
It would help, believe it or not, that actually helps us immensely. It moves the sales metric numbers tremendously.
Yeah, because then it means that we actually get recommended to people.
Yes.
So anything you can do to help is awesome, but we appreciate you listening all the same.
Sure do.
We'll be back in another couple weeks with more Movie Mastery. And until then, you have a good one.
In the universe of Star Wall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Star Wall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No King system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Star Wall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.